Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 16. Luke 16 tonight. And let's pray that God will just speak to our hearts. And in a special way tonight. The Lord knows what He wants to do. Amen. And we never know what the Lord's doing. And I never feel like that I know what the Lord's doing. You'll find in Luke 14, you'll see earth's madness. But you'll find in Luke 15, heaven's gladness. And in Luke 16, you'll find hell's sadness. And I want to, if the Lord will let me tonight, I want to preach on the rich man and Lazarus tonight. And we'll start reading verse number 19, Luke chapter number 16, verse 19. And I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. I understand that. But I tell you what, I believe we all need to be reminded how good God's been to us. Amen. That we're not going to hell. And that's not my message tonight. I could preach a lot about that and thank the Lord. We should be really excited that if we're saved, if you're saved tonight, you're not going to hell. There's no way that you could go to hell if you're saved tonight. No way whatsoever. And so I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that He gives us eternal security, everlasting life. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And so we realize that what God gives, God's not an Indian giver. I hesitate to make that. I may be in jail tomorrow by a racial statement like that. I mean, it seems like we can't use any kind of words. But he's not an Indian giver. He don't give and take back, amen? Now, I've just heard that all my life. I don't know if Indians was like that or not. Do y'all? I mean, you know. But we've heard that all our life, haven't we? Amen. I'll tell you what, we'll be in jail tomorrow. Anyway, but it's amazing how everybody wants freedom of speech when they're talking, but not when you're talking. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Amen. We know there's a lot going on in our day and life. I might as well just get it off my mind right now. Amen. You say, what do you think? I think the men ought to stand and put their hands over the heart. Amen. It won't hurt them. It won't hurt them. Amen. And you said, preacher, they got a right to protest. They sure do. Get up signs, stand out in front of the stadium, do whatever they want to do. But when the song comes on, that national anthem comes on, stop, put your signs down, put your hand over your heart, and thank the God for a nation we got. Amen. Then pick up your sign, protest all you want to. I guarantee you, some of y'all would not want to live in my mind. But if I was one of those guys, I believe this is what I do. Hey, they say that they have a right to protest, right? I dare one of them to take a rebel flag, Confederate flag, and walk into the stadium with it. He has a right. Amen. I mean, they're taking the rebel flag out of young boys back of their trucks, going to high school. But we got a right to protest. It's what you're protesting, whether you got a right to do or not. Oh, me. Okay, now all that said, I ain't talking no more about that. Okay, but I got that off my mind. Amen. I think they ought to stand up, and I think they ought to pledge. And I did not like the Dallas Cowboys by taking a knee either. Amen. I love that it is costing them some things. I've been reading on the internet, it is costing them some things. Some people, some stores are always taking the NFL stuff out. One of the guys sung for the Ravens. He was a military man. He's not singing the national anthem no more. He quit. I mean, you know, hey, somebody's got to make a stand somewhere. Amen. And I tell you what, when it starts getting to their billfold, they'll change it. It won't hurt them the other way, but it'll change them. They'll get the billfold. Amen. That'll get their attention. Amen. When they can't buy the Rolls Royces and all that stuff. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Luke chapter number 16, this is a Bible. It's a church. Okay, Luke chapter 16. Others are not bad either. But Luke chapter number 16, and may I just say, I believe our young people need to know that we need to. There's some things that need to be respected. And our young people need to know that. And there's a time to stand. There's a time to kneel. Tebow kneeled and got in trouble. He's praying. You know, so, you know, it's just what you're kneeling about, I guess. But anyway, simply this, I believe that you should stand, you should reverence and respect what God has allowed us to have here in America, our nation. I think we ought to reverence His flag. I think we ought to reverence the church. Amen. Amen. I think our young people ought to be respectful in the house of God. I mean, that's not a playground. It's the house of God. This is the place we come, and we worship God. Amen. And I believe it ought to represent that. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. We'll begin reading with verse number 19. And the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, more of the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass." Can I tell you, it's going to come to pass. This is going to come in our life. The Bible says, appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes." Can I stop right here, time out? What we're talking about right now is a whole lot more than what I just mentioned a few minutes ago. We get excited about all that and everything, and that's fine. I'm not against that. What I'm talking about right now is reality. From the youngest to the elders in here, I want you to listen to what the Bible says about this rich man. Now, may I say, first of all, don't get messed up on one being rich, one being poor. That has nothing to do with their destination. One had put their faith and was looking towards Calvary, was looking towards the coming. One had no desire to anything to do have to do with God. You know, the Bible talks about our riches, and our riches would takes people away from God, makes people think they're self-sufficient. I mean, money can do a lot of things to people. Amen. And so here this rich man said, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Now let me remind you now, this is before Calvary. And so we realize that we have paradise is in the heart of the earth at this time. And I'm just going to be really simple in my preaching tonight. That's what I feel like the Lord wants me to be. And so we have hell's in the heart of the earth. We have paradise in the heart of the earth. And evidently, by the word of God here, there's a great gulf between them we're going to read about. And the Bible says, and he cried, saying, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." One preacher preached on a message. He titled it, "A Family with One Member in Hell." Can I tell you this? If you have a family member in hell, they don't want you to come. This fact of this rich man crying out and not wanting his brothers to come to this awful place, can I tell you, he's still crying out. If his brothers are there with him, we don't know. And maybe he don't even know. But he does know this, it's a place that he don't want them to come to. And if you did have a loved one that has went on and was not saved, unfortunately, they're in this place. I know that's not popular, but if they're not saved, and anybody in this building tonight, if you're not saved, this is your destiny. This is your end. And they're praying in hell that you don't come. The Bible says, Abraham, he said, Verse 28, "For I have five brethren that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophet. let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight. God, I pray that you'll help us to be that we need to be. God, I don't have a lot to say tonight. God, I want to say all that you want me to say. God, I want to be sensitive to what you're speaking to my heart and to other hearts here tonight. God, I pray for that one, no doubt, God. I know you wouldn't lay this message on my heart if there wasn't someone here tonight that was lost. And God, I pray for that soul that's lost tonight. And I pray you'll touch them. Then, God, I pray for all the saints of God, all us that are saved, secure, Father, satisfied, Father, sanctified, and headed to heaven. God, may you give us a burden. God, may you start now a desire as we'll hopefully will, Father, blossom and, God, just get greater as we begin to preach on missions in the month of October. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Well, I come to my text, and this is my title of my message. Really, you won't find it in the text. I don't preach much like this tonight, but again, I just want to be obedient. I want to preach on this thought, what you miss. What you miss by being a Christian. What you miss by being a Christian. You know, this world has a lot to say about you being a child of God, and this world has a lot to say about us being Christians and being saved. When I'm talking about a Christian now, I'm not just talking about somebody that's walking like that. I'm talking about somebody that's truly saved. They're born again. They're on the way to heaven. You know, you can be saved and not be a Christian. Amen. You cannot be walking according to what the Lord wants you to walk. But I'm talking about, when I say Christian, I'm just talking of using the term as being saved. And most of the time, that's the way we use the term. And this world has a lot to say about us as Christians. Well, that one thing says Christians don't have any fun. Well, I have a lot of fun. I don't know where they've been reading. Maybe they've been walking y'all around with some of y'all or something. I don't know. But I have a lot of fun. Amen. I enjoy life. I enjoy living. I enjoy being the pastor of Philadelphia Baptist Church. I enjoy working for the Lord. Amen. If I wasn't pastor, I used to be bivocational. I enjoyed working a job and pastoring. When I went to Bible college and worked a job, went to Bible, I enjoyed that. It was a joy to just be in the service of God. It was a joy just to be a child of God. It was a joy just to be saved and know that I had a home in heaven and I had peace in my heart. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's peace that passes all understanding. So, but the world talks about Christians, you know, and they don't enjoy life. They can't be happy, and you know, they get that from somewhere. I guess they must see a lot of unhappy Christians. And so, but you know, the another thing that, especially to our young people tonight, the world will tell you, you know, you got to enjoy life, and you won't be able to enjoy life if you're a Christian. And they'll tell you there's a lot of fun out there. There's a lot of things out there that you can get involved in if you wasn't a Christian, because, you know, Christians wouldn't get involved in those things, of course. And that's what the world's trying to tell you, that they're, you know, the party life, man, you got to have the party life. And I'm telling you, some of y'all are going to be pulled towards that right now. I'm telling you, you're getting at the age that's pulling to you. The party life, you know. Oh, man, you know, supposed to party up and live up. And you're going to hear some of y'all are starting to get jobs, and you're working out in going to school still and working jobs or in different things. And some may be out of school and in college, different things. And you're being pulled. You're being pulled by this world. And people are talking about, on Monday, they're talking about the party and all the fun and all the things that they did and all the enjoyment and all the different things. But the only problem is, you know, the devil never tells the truth. It's a complete truth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's a lie with almost everything that the devil says. So the devil will tell you, you know, the party life, the excitement, the fun, the good life, the good things that we can do and the good things you enjoy. Now, Christians can't enjoy that, but we can. But they don't tell you about, you know, the 21-year-old boy that last month that was driving in Cobb County and under the influence of alcohol and killed a 15-year-old kid, how his life's going to be changed. Yeah. They don't tell you about that. Right. They don't tell you about the graduation night when the kids all got drunk and they went out and got to driving, and three seniors that were seniors that night lost their life just a couple years ago in the state of Georgia. And I'm not using names and stuff like that because I'm on the internet. It'd be awful if one of the parents was listening by the way internet and hear their son's or their daughter's name mentioned. Amen. But it don't just happen once in a while. It almost happens every year in the state of Georgia. Some young person close to graduation, after graduation, or the night of graduation, dies because of drinking and driving. Oh, but it's the party life. It's the fun thing. Oh, we're going to get enjoyed. We're going to get excited. And you just don't understand. You don't know it. But so the devil never lets you know there's another side to it. So you see the billboards and all the billboards and the signs and all that seem like the excitement things that's going on, exciting things that are going on that billboard. And you see the young ladies and they're pretty young ladies. You see the young men and they're handsome young men. And you see them there with alcohol and they're drinking and they're partying and having fun. But see, they don't tell you the back side of that. So you don't see the other side of that sign. So you don't see them passing out and things happening to them they don't never even know about. You don't see how they get finally hooked on alcohol. And they lose their jobs and they lose their families. And they're down on Slid Row. Do you realize there's lawyers that was almost millionaires that are now living in Atlanta on the streets? Because of a bottle. Oh, just a little bit of drugs. I mean, that's part of it. It'll make you feel good. I've never had drugs in my life. I don't want any drugs. The drugs I get are, they won't let me have drugs, so I eat all the chocolate I can. Amen? And so, but I'm telling you, that we realize that it's fun. It'll be fun. It'll be cool. You'll enjoy it. And, you know, and you don't have to ever do it again. And there could be a possibility, young men, y'all might never would do it again. But it's just a possibility. There's another possibility that you do it again and again and again and again. And finally you get addicted. And you finally, so just doing it is not enough because you've got to have more money. Then you have to start selling it. And you sell it for your habit. Just to feed your habit. And then you guess what happens to people that sell it? It's against the law to sell it, so they get what? Caught. Amen. Do you realize? I don't understand why people don't understand it. If there's a house and there's 20 people and 25 people coming to that house every weekend at different times, and somebody's going to finally realize in the neighborhood something's not right over there. Amen. And for very, very long, the cops knows that, hey, there's a drug house over here. There's somebody passing drugs. There's somebody getting into school. I read a story today of a little 9-year-old girl by the age of 12 was dealing drugs in her middle school. Arrested at 13 dealing drugs. She was already a known alcoholic. Raised by her grandmother. How sad that is. Thank the Lord she's went to a home, hopefully a home that will help her. Amen. Amen. The story, I don't know the home, I don't know the history of the home, but they actually let her out of jail where she could go to that home and get help, hoping that would help this young girl. So you don't know what it will affect your life. So, can I tell you, I can't tell you what you will miss being a Christian about things like that. But there's some things I can tell you that the Word of God teaches me that you will miss by being a Christian. Can I tell you the very first one? Don't get excited about it. But the very first one is you'll miss going to the place the rich man went. You'll miss hell. You will miss hell if you're saved and being a Christian, because there'll be no Christians in hell. You will miss being a Christian. I mean, you will miss hell by being a Christian. What will you miss by being a Christian? I don't know what all in the world. But it sounds like me, it's a pretty good idea to be a Christian and miss a lot of things in this world that people are indulging in. Because to everything that seems to have a glamour side, just remember there's always two sides to a coin. Make sure you check out the back side of that coin. And many of you sitting in this room, you have people in your family that you can look at and you've seen they've took the wrong road. And you realize what has happened in their life. But what is amazing to me, Brother Jeff, is that young person that's seen it happen in that other cousin or niece, or how they'll go the same way, down the same path. But I tell you this, what you'll miss from being a Christian, the first thing you'll miss, hell. The Bible says here that hell is a place of torment. Not torment, but torments. Look what it says in verse 23, being in torments. Amen. You'll miss a place, going to a place called hell, a place where all the wicked people goes. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and then all the nations that forget God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 said, in a flame fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You'll be around people that don't know God. You'll be around people that not obey the gospel. And that's why you're going to be there, because you're going to hear the gospel tonight. And if you reject it, you can go to hell. And guess what? You'll be one of those that will not obey the gospel. Devil don't want you to hear this, but you're a Christ rejecter. You're a gospel rejecter. You're a Bible non-believer. You're a child of wrath. Yeah. You're living in darkness. You're a child of disobedience. That's what the Bible says. And may I say, we all, everybody in this building, at one time was.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And the only reason I'm not, because I realized I was a sinner, and I cried out to God and asked God to save me. And I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Y'all not getting near excited about that. I'm glad I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Can I tell you, there's some things that a Christian, what you miss by being a Christian. First of all, you'll miss hell. Then secondly, very quickly, you're going to miss the great white throne judgment. The Bible speaks of a judgment where you'll stand before God. Take your Bibles now. We're just going to go real. Take your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 20. Go to the very last book in your Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 20. You young people, if you would, if you got a Bible with you, go with me to it. And while you're going there, the Bible says that it is written in Romans. You go to Revelation now, chapter 20. I'm going to be there in just a second. But the Bible says, as I live and say the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Now, he said, it is written. That means God's keeping a book of records. Amen.
Yeah.
There's a book, for it is written, as I liveth, we see that. We realize that as our life is, our behavior is going to be judged one day. Saith the Lord, every knee shall bow. There's going to be a bowing day. And every tongue, there's going to be a confessing day. Amen. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now go to Revelations now. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11. And the Bible says, I saw a great, great white throne. This is not imaginary. This is not something that is just something that the people want to talk about. There's going to be a literal throne, a great white throne. He said, I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth, faced the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who are them? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books was opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which was written in the books according to their works. And the Bible says, and the sea gave up all those that died at sea. Those that's died at war in the cell, in the boats, those that was in the planes that went down, those that went down in the Titanic, all of those in the sea gave up the dead which was in him, and death and hell. Now here, I'm going to kill some of your theology here, but don't let it mess up your preaching or mess up your listening to preaching. But your eternal destination is really not hell. And I'll get to that in just a second. But hell is going to be delivered up. Hell is from the time from you die until the time of this great white throne judgment. Okay? And I'll explain the rest of that. Just stay with me. I'll explain the rest of that in just a second. The sea gave it. And they were judged, every man according to their work. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. And we'll get there in a second. But these people was judged. They come before God and the books are open. And God begins to open the book. And he has a book there called the Book of Life. We would call it the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe I can, through the Word of God, I believe Brother Stringer, the Word of God teaches me that Lamb's Book of Life is those that have eternal life. Their names have been written down by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been cleansed and their names been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, as a little 7-year-old boy at Rutter Chapel Baptist Church, there was books. No doubt there's a book of my recording of my birth. I believe God knows everybody's born. But on that day, as a 7-year-old boy, guess what happened? I seen myself as a sinner. Now, I knew my brother and sister were sinners. Amen. Mom and Daddy, I knew they were saved. I doubted anybody else. But Mom and Daddy, they got it. They was in. But I wasn't in. And I knew I was lost. And I walked down that aisle. And Brother Luke, I bowed down. And I asked the Lord to save me. I just told him I was a sinner and asked God to save me. And you know what happened? My name went down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I got what we call born again. I got saved. So I did not get it. When I was born into the McCulley, oh, it was a wonderful day. March 1965, on the 26th day of the month, the McCulleys was blessed with a little baby boy. Oh, just 10 toes, 10 fingers, or 8 fingers, 2 thumbs, whatever you want to say. And I had it all. I was that almost perfect little boy. And then I started breathing. But anyway. And I was born in the McCulley family. And that day, I have a birth certificate. And it says, in Andrews, North Carolina, on March the 3rd, 1965, Timothy Dwayne McCulley was born to Mildred McCulley and W.H. McCulley, William Henry McCulley. And I mean, it's in a record book. Matter of fact, it might be when we moved to Georgia. We had to have the certified. I had a little card, you know. It said I was born, and I'm here. I already had a Tennessee driver's license. I'm here. It got my picture on it, but that wasn't enough to please the great state of Georgia. They had to see not just a little. They had to see the original one with the stamp and the one they could feel. Amen. And so we had to get that thing for him and where I could get my driver's license. So how many of y'all have had to go through that? Amen. I don't know how they do it now, but anyway. And so there's a record of my birth physically. There's a record of my birth spiritually. And when they stand at the great white throne judgment, they won't stand there. It won't be Luke and I standing there. And he said, oh, I see Luke's name's in the Lamb Book of Life. You get to go over here, Luke. Oh, but Tim McCulley's his name. His name didn't even make the list. But his name ain't on it. And so he has to go, no. So all the ones that stands there, their name will not be found. It won't be there. Now, just before we get too happy, us all that saved, there is a judgment seat of Christ that we're going to stand before God at. And give account of the deeds we've done in the body. And we're going to try our works, and some of them's going to be burned, and some of them's not going to be burned. We won't go there, but I'm talking about it standing at the great white throne judgment. And many in that day are going to say, didn't we go down to Philadelphia Baptist Church? Didn't I go to Sunday school? Didn't I read my Bible? Hey, I was a pretty good kid down at the school. Hey, I was a real good kid up at the Christian school. Oh, I was even better than that. I was homeschooled. My mom and daddy homeschooled me. Surely my name's... I mean, we went to church. My mom and daddy went to church. Hey, wait. I won't get your name in here. But you don't understand. They said, hadn't we cast out devils in thy name? Hadn't we done many mighty works in thy name? And this is what the Bible says that the Lord's going to say to him. He said, I never knew you. Didn't mean that he... Well, Luke started off pretty good and he ran well for a while. But then, you know, world kind of got, he kind of got a little worldly and he got away from church. And, you know, he got in his early 20s and he married some girl that wasn't even saved and blah, blah, blah. He started off well, but we marked him off about 22. No. That ain't the way it works. When you're saved, you stay in there. No, their name's not going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're going to make... He's going to say no. I don't find the day that you put your faith and your trust in me. Oh, you put your trust in good works. And you put your trust in doing good. But hey, you didn't put your trust in me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how angelical you are. You know what you are? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your person, you are a son, a child of the devil. You said, that is so plain, preacher. That's exactly right. And that's what young people need. That's what mom and dads need to hear. That's what this world needs to hear. Just plain preaching. What you miss by being a Christian, you miss going to hell. Okay, I'll be a Christian then. I know about that place. Amen. When we think about that awful, awful place called hell, oh, mercy. I think about it. I could have told you more about it. When I think about it, that horrible tempest, a place of everlasting burning fire and furnace. I mean, place of devouring fire, place of torment, place of, a place where people pray, but the prayers are never answered. People cry for mercy. That's what he's crying. He prayed. Have mercy on me. No mercy. He prayed for his, I mean, he prayed a good prayer. Lord, send somebody to my family that will not come to this place. Sorry, can't do it. Praying was on the other side. Praying was on the other side. No answered prayer. Separated from the presence of God. No place of forgiveness. A place of weeping, a place of sorrow, a place of outer darkness. Tonight when you go out and you look at the stars, look behind it. That's what I consider outer darkness. Just pitch dark. By being a Christian, I get to escape all that. By being a Christian, I escape the great white throne judgment. Because look what it says on in your book. The Bible says in verse number 14 of Revelation chapter 20, and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can I give you my third and last point? What being a Christian keeps you out of hell. Keeps you from the great white throne judgment. But it keeps you out of the lake of fire. Amen. The Bible says hell was cast into it. So I have no problem with... And may I say, I believe the lake of fire is just like hell. I believe it's a fire that will never be quenched. A thirst that will never be quenched. I believe it's a place of darkness. I believe it's a place of torment. And the Bible tells us it's a place where it burneth forever and ever. It's a place where you never will escape. So just for a moment of time, hell's going to cease. And your body wrapped in pain. So that rich man, he's still screaming tonight. Sorry, didn't mean to wake y'all up. He's still screaming tonight.
Yeah. Amen. You're right,
and he's going to think just for a moment, maybe I felt mercy. Just for a moment, maybe God's going to get me out of here. Just for a moment, maybe he's going to hear my cry and hear my prayer. And when he steps out of hell, he sees a great white throne judgment, and he sees all of heaven and earth is trembling before it. And he sees the Lamb of God that he has denied, the Lamb of God that he has rejected, the Lamb of God that he heard about at Philadelphia Baptist Church on a Wednesday night and chose not to believe in. And I tell you, if you're between the age of 16 and 19, you're living in the most dangerous time of your life. You know, there's more young people killed in car accidents between the ages. It's the highest mortality rate among accidents is between the ages of 16 and 19. Young people dies in cars. Number one leading killer of teens, 16 to 19. I just think we should all boycott riding in cars. Amen. It's your number one killer, young people. So you're not going to live forever. I'll never forget the night, sister come. I'll never forget the night. I got the phone call. And I could not understand the voice that was on the other end. It was so crying. There was so much pain. There was so much agony. And he was weeping. And I could not understand what he was saying. And finally I understood this. My son. His son was 18 years old and just got married. Been married about 3 months to a young lady there in Dunlap, Tennessee. They was driving down one of the back roads there in Dunlap, and he reached down to get something in the middle of the car. And when he came back up, he was headed for going off the left side of the road. Went off the embankment. The van flipped and rolled over. He was killed instantly. He thought he had his whole life ahead of him. He just found the love of his life. He just got married. Brother Stranger, he's going to live, have children. How could it be that this is the day that he was a checkout? I stood and preached this funeral. The first time I'd ever seen Weather Cross Church auditorium would probably seat about 350. 21-year-old girl had come to our church, started visiting our church, and she got saved. She worked at Home Depot in Chattanooga. One night she was coming home from work, came down 111, was going to turn out on 127, turned and did not see a tractor trailer truck coming. How she did not see it, I'll never know. Hit the side of her car, killed her instantly. She went out into eternity. The first time I ever seen the church full. It was her funeral. The whole choir was full, flowers covering the, had a large platform, had all the flowers. People were seated all the seats, and they were standing all around the building. Brother, I preached on, I'm glad I've got a hope. She'd come and got saved at our church. One of our ladies led her to the Lord. Just a few months later, she went out into eternity. But you know what? She had a hope. That family, I didn't know that family. I hadn't met them much, just seen them. I said, I'm telling you what, she had a hope. Why? She had a hope because she got saved. I preached on, I'm glad I've got a hope. Even in death, I'm glad I've got a hope. Tonight I want to ask you, do you have a hope tonight? Do you have a no-so salvation? Do you know that your name's written down in the book? Our heads are bowed. I'm telling you, all day long I've been burdened about, I knew what God wanted me to do. I know there's somebody here lost tonight. It's your chance to get saved. It's your chance. What you'll miss by being a Christian, you'll miss hell. You'll miss the great white throne judgment, and you'll miss the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Altars are open. We're going to stand. We're not going to have any singing. She's just going to play right now. We might sing the song in just a minute, but right now we're just going to have playing. And I want every head, I want you to really be respectful of the house of the Lord tonight. And I want every head bowed, and I want Christians praying. Some of you may need to come to the altar and pray. But I'd like for that one, I'm going to go back to the pulpit where I can see a little better. But if you know you're not saved here tonight, if you know you're not saved, I would like for you to just look up here at me. And I want you to raise your hand. I want you to look at me. You know you're not saved. Will you look at me? You know you're not saved. I've got one that's looking at me. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody tonight, but thank you. You can bow your head back down. Why would you not want to be a Christian? You said, preacher, it's people I've seen, and I've seen how they acted. You're not going to have to give account for them. I read to you, you're going to give account of yourself before God. Why would you dare trouble your soul? Why would you dare let your life rest on somebody else's deeds? Would there be another one that wants to look at me for a second? You know you're not saved, young person, adult. Why not tonight? Would you be willing to come tonight and tell God that you're a sinner and ask God to save you? Would you be willing, the one that was willing to look at me, would you be willing? It's going to take you doing it. Mom and Dad can't do it. The preacher can't do it. But I'm telling you, you don't know if you got tomorrow. Can I have some more adults come and pray? I'm telling you, God's dealing with somebody here tonight. Would you step out? Will you step out? So what you're doing is rejecting Christ tonight. You're not rejecting Baptists. You're not rejecting Tim McCulley. You're not rejecting your mom or dad's religion or your uncle or sister or grandma's religion. You're rejecting Christ yourself. I've got a Bible. I'm standing right out here. If you're willing to come, would you come? Are you willing to come? Brother Mike's going to start singing.